At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's something NSFW you'll never tell your friends, but will tell the internet? Story 1. Back in college, I had a massive crush on this girl. Let's call her Elisa. She knew I liked her, and honestly, she loved teasing me. For a whole year, she basically blueballed me until I finally said screw it and cut ties. But of course, a couple of weeks later, we ended up hooking up. The problem? She didn't want a relationship. So naturally, I thought, fine, screw this girl, and started dating her best friend, let's call her Haley. Haley and I dated for a couple of weeks, but I realized there wasn't anything real there, and I didn't want to lead her on, so I ended it. The next day, Elisa came crawling back trying to convince me to go back to Haley because she genuinely liked me, and in the middle of that conversation, young hormones happened. Me and Elisa slept together. Then, it gets even messier. The third friend in the group, let's call her Emily, showed up, also trying to make me go back to Haley. Guess what happened? Yep, me and Emily ended up hooking up on the beach while she was giving me advice about Haley, and then again the next day in my car. And just to answer the question everyone's thinking, yes, me and Haley got into an entanglement too. Eventually, the stories started connecting. The three of them group called me, furious, trying to figure out what was happening. I didn't try to hide anything, I just told them the truth. I was intimate with all of them, I liked all of them, and it was complicated. Naturally, they were pissed, and their friend group imploded shortly after. After that, Elisa became a fefaloobie situation for a couple of years, until she told me she was in love with me. That's when I finally cut it off. A few months later, I met my now wife. She knows I had past relationships and fooled around, but this story, she doesn't need to know. I like to think it's part of my mature, nice guy image. Before we continue, do us a quick favor, smash that like button and subscribe to support our channel. Story 2. A few years back, I was stretched out on the roof deck, just enjoying the sun and minding my own business, when a helicopter flew overhead. At first, I didn't think much of it, until it circled back. That's when a mischievous thought hit me. I was in a crop top, the day was slow, and honestly, why not? So when it came close again, I decided to flash it. Apparently, they did notice. Because almost immediately, the helicopter swung back around, and then again, and again. In total, they circled me four more times, and I made sure not to disappoint them on any pass. By then, it had turned into a little game, me laughing to myself on the roof, them clearly enjoying the unexpected entertainment. At one point, I thought, helicopter fuel can't be cheap. The least I can do is make this worth their while. When I finally headed inside, I could still hear the blades hovering nearby for a while, as if they were reluctant to give up the view. I won't lie, being the reason a helicopter crew burned through a few extra gallons of jet fuel was weirdly flattering. Hopefully, I gave them a rooftop story of their own to tell later. Story 3. On a trip to Belgium, I met this absolutely delightful girl at a party. We clicked instantly. Same interests, same sense of humor, great chemistry all around. After a night of dancing, laughing, and way too many drinks, she leaned in and asked if I wanted to go back to her apartment. Now, normally, the sensible part of me would have thought, stranger's apartment in a foreign country? This is how people wake up without kidneys. But the rest of me, the part fueled by attraction and Belgian beer, won the debate. So off we went. Things escalated quickly once we got inside. We were getting in the mood when I saw it. A nightmare. A horror movie jump scare. Right next to her back door, a perfectly visible, somehow missed streak of unwiped, you know what, just sitting there, like the world's worst punctuation mark. I have a very sensitive nose and, admittedly, a bit of a germaphobe streak. The sight hit me like a freight train. My stomach lurched. My brain screamed, "Abort mission." Within seconds, I was gagging, sprinting to her bathroom, and throwing up like I was trying to eject every piece of gum I'd ever swallowed in childhood. She was sweet, concerned, even hovering near the door and asking if I was okay. I didn't have the heart to tell her the truth, so I just blamed it on the alcohol. "Too much to drink," I croaked, wiping my mouth. After that, there was no recovering the mood. My body refused to cooperate. I apologized, made some excuse, and eventually slipped out into the night. And honestly, I still think about it sometimes. That night could have been amazing. Maybe even the start of something more. Instead, it all came crashing down thanks to one tiny tragic failure of hygiene. A romance lost, not to distance, not to timing, but to a single devastating skid mark. Story 4. When I was in high school, my rowing team traveled to Hamburg, Germany for a competition. Instead of a hotel, we were housed in apartments belonging to friends of our host family. It was cramped, chaotic, and full of the usual teenage energy that comes with a group of competitive athletes forced to share space. One night, after a particularly heated argument with one of my teammates, the kind of fight that feels earth-shattering at 17 but is probably laughable in hindsight, I stormed out of the apartment. The problem was, I left in such a blind fury that I didn't grab anything. No shoes, no wallet, no identification, just me, stomping out into the Hamburg night barefoot and seething. By the time I cooled off and trudged back, I realized I had made a terrible mistake. The apartment was locked, lights off, and everyone inside had clearly gone out. I stood there barefoot on the sidewalk, staring at the sealed door like a character in a bad comedy. The apartment complex was built in a block around a central garden, accessible through a narrow tunnel at street level. I slipped inside, walked into the quiet courtyard, and craned my neck up at the rows of identical balconies. Which one was ours? In my head, I could still picture the layout, so I tried to trace my way back. Eventually, I was convinced I had found the right place. My brilliant plan: climb up. I spotted a tree near the building, scrambled up into the branches, and leapt to a balcony just below what I thought was ours. The plan was simple. Grab the railing of the upper balcony, pull myself up, and crawl through the window I hoped I had left cracked open earlier. The reality, not so simple. The balcony I landed on had one of those decorative iron bars along the edge, the kind meant to hold flower boxes. Except it wasn't decorative at all. It was flimsy. Really flimsy. I balanced there, one hand clutching the railing above me, the other stretching toward salvation, when the sliding glass door behind me opened. Suddenly, a furious German voice erupted. "Dieb! Thief!" At least, that's what I think was shouted. All I really heard was rage. My stomach dropped. My survival instincts kicked in. Instead of calmly explaining the situation, which, to be fair, was pretty unexplainable. "No, no, you see, I am not robbing you, I just live upstairs and forgot my shoes." I did the only thing my adrenaline-flooded teenage brain could think of. I launched myself off the balcony. 40 feet above the ground, I flung myself back into the tree I had originally climbed. Somehow, by sheer panic and gravity, I managed to shimmy down the trunk in seconds. The moment my bare feet hit the grass, I bolted. I didn't stop running until I was blocks away, heart pounding like I'd just escaped a heist gone wrong. Hours later, after convincing myself it was safe, I crept back toward the building. My teammates had returned with our host, but now the front of the apartment block was swarming with police. Their cars parked haphazardly in the street, lights flashing against the facades. I walked up, trying to look casual, and asked, "Hey, what's going on?" To my immense relief, the neighbor didn't recognize me. Maybe it was too dark, or maybe barefoot teenagers weren't high on their list of suspects. Either way, I slipped upstairs with my team, slid into bed, and fell asleep like nothing had happened. And that was it. The night I nearly got arrested in Hamburg for breaking into the wrong apartment. I never told a soul until now. Story 5. Okay, so this one's a little wild. Back in college, after a night of partying, I wasn't ready to call it quits. I was really in need for a romantic company, and there was this guy I had a massive crush on. We'd only hung out in groups a handful of times, but my drunken, overly confident brain thought, yeah, sneaking into his house and surprising him in bed would be a great idea. Now, a bit of context, he had once forgotten his key, and we'd all helped him jimmy the front window to get in. So naturally, I decide I can do the same thing. I sneak in, quietly make my way to his bedroom, only to discover he's not there. But I've already made it this far, so I strip down to my underwear and crawl into his sheets, just soaking in his scent, I guess. I end up falling asleep. Yep, classic. I wake up to the sound of someone coming home, his roommate, and then him hopping in the shower. My slightly more sober brain immediately starts screaming, okay, maybe this was not the best idea. The final straw, sunlight hits the floor and illuminates a pair of another girl's clothes right next to me. At that moment, I do what any rational person would do. I throw on my clothes and got the hell out of there, terrified I was about to be caught. Never told him. Never told anyone. And honestly, probably never will. Story 6. So, here's a little secret about me from time to time. I make audio corn for women. It started as something small and experimental, but now it's one of those quirky little double lives I keep tucked away. In real life, I am pretty reserved, the classic good girl type. I've never been the one to do anything wild or rebellious. Most people who know me would probably describe me as polite, studious, and maybe a little too proper, which is why this feels so thrilling. There's something incredibly liberating about turning on my mic, slipping into a role, and knowing that my voice can make someone else feel good. It makes me happy in this really genuine way, like I am giving comfort, intimacy, or excitement to strangers who need it. Having this little secret adds a spark to my everyday routine. It's my private rebellion, my reminder that I don't have to be as buttoned up as I look on the outside. Edit. Because wow, I wasn't expecting so many people to DM me asking how to get started. First, let me make this super clear. I am not a professional voice actor, not even close. I honestly have no idea what I am doing half the time. This is purely a hobby, something I stumbled into because I enjoy listening to audios myself. Here is how I started. Literally with a cheap mic, sometimes just my phone mic. I found random scripts online that resonated with me. Sometimes sweet, sometimes spicy, and just recorded myself reading them. My very first attempt was actually SFW. From there, I just kept experimenting. If you're curious about trying, my best advice is just do it. You will be bad at first. That's not me being mean. It's just part of the process. You'll struggle with audio quality, with how awkward your voice might sound, with pacing or acting, but you will improve. What helped me? Watching tutorials on mic settings, editing, and breathing techniques. Listening to creators I admired and trying to imitate their styles. Over time, I naturally developed my own rhythm and voice. Hanging around r/gonewildaudio, finding script offers, and just experimenting with what felt fun. Honestly, the key is to enjoy the learning process. If you treat it like a performance, you'll get frustrated. But if you treat it like play, like exploring a side of yourself you usually keep hidden, it's incredibly rewarding. So, good luck to anyone who's thinking about dipping their toes in. Who knows? You might surprise yourself the same way I did. Story 7. At the time, I was working as a landscaper, moving from yard to yard, digging, planting, sweating, the whole deal. But here's the thing, sometimes my anxiety hits hard, and coupled with a heavy lunch, my gut just betrays me. That day, I was in a suburban neighborhood, trapped between, I cannot possibly make it inside that house, and there's no public restroom for miles. So yes, I did the unthinkable. I took a dump under someone's front porch. Not dramatically, mind you, practicality was key. I dug a hole, did my business, buried it, and walked away like nothing had happened. All the while, I could see people strolling by with their dogs, completely oblivious to what was happening beneath their feet. And honestly, that wasn't even my first time. My gut and I have had some diabolical adventures over the years. Let's just say I've learned to plan ahead, or else nature takes its chaotic course. Story 8. Back in college, there was this girl I shared nearly all of my classes with. We sat together, studied together, and eventually one thing led to another. We made out after a study session. That escalated quickly, and before I knew it, I was going down on her. The next day, I walked into class, took an exam, and scored the highest mark I'd ever gotten. Naturally, my brain made the connection cause and effect. From then on, a strange tradition was born. Before every exam, yes, every single one, I went down on her. Didn't matter if it was midterms, finals, or even those smaller weekly quizzes. If there was a test, there was a warm-up session beforehand. And here's the kicker. I absolutely thrived. My grades skyrocketed. By the time I graduated, I was in the top 10 of my entire class. People assumed it was my relentless studying, my focus, or maybe even some mysterious study technique. Meanwhile, she happily took credit for my GPA. Everyone thought she meant academic credit, like tutoring me through the hard material, but no, she meant it quite literally. To this day, if the subject comes up, she still smirk and say, "You know you couldn't have done it without me." And honestly, she might not be wrong. Story 9. When I was in the military, I had what you might call a side hustle. Believe it or not, I ended up working with 13 other service members who were also running OF accounts. Yep, uniforms by day, content creators by night. It started small, just a couple of us figuring out how to make some extra cash. But it grew, and before long, we were making content together. I stuck with it for years. And the wild part? I ended up making more money doing that than I ever did in uniform. The military paycheck didn't even come close. The whole time, I kept my identity under wraps. No one knew it was me, at least, not officially. But people definitely recognized the girls, and word got around, content got traded, whispered about, passed from one group chat to another. Meanwhile, I just kept my head down and acted like I had no idea what anyone was talking about. To this day, nobody ever connected the dots back to me. But sometimes when I hear stories about that group of girls in the service who made OF content, I can't help but smile because I was right there in the middle of it, living a double life that nobody suspected. Story 10. I am a 38-year-old man now, but when I was younger, I had an experience I didn't fully understand until much later. My parents used to drop me off at the local barbershop for haircuts. One day, when I went in, it was empty except for the barber and his assistant, a couple who were well known in the neighborhood. I sat down in the chair like always, but this time things felt off. The barber began crossing boundaries in a way that made me uncomfortable. At that age, I couldn't explain why, I just knew something wasn't right, and that's exactly why I believe kids need early education, so they know no adult should ever put them in that kind of situation. At one point, the barber told me to follow him into the back room for a special treatment. I froze, confused. But before anything else happened, his assistant suddenly stepped in. He looked at me firmly and said, "Leave? Don't come back here." I remember waiting outside, shaken, while hearing him angrily confront the barber inside. That assistant may have saved me from something that could have changed my life forever. I never told anyone at the time. About a year later, the barber passed away and the incident faded into silence. It was only years later, when I learned more about abuse, that I realized how close I came to something terrible and how much I owed to the man who stopped it. To Mr. Nguyen, the assistant, you are my hero. You stepped in when I didn't know how to protect myself. I hope life was kind to you. Thank you for doing the right thing when it mattered most. Looking back, I also recognize how the experience shaped me. As a teenager, I struggled with misplaced anger and even some homophobia because I thought what almost happened to me was tied to sexual orientation. But as I grew older and met kind, trustworthy people in the queer community, I learned the truth. Abuse isn't about being gay or straight. It's about someone choosing to harm. Sexual orientation isn't the problem. The abuser is. Now, I see that day in two ways. Yes, as a close call, but also as the day someone else showed courage, protected me, and gave me a chance to carry forward the lesson that kids need to be safe, informed, and believed. Story 11. So, let me tell you about one of the strangest nights of my life. Back when I was younger, I was on kick. Yeah. That kick. If you know, you know. Anyway, I end up matching with this woman. We're chatting, things are getting flirty, and she invites me over. I am thinking, cool. This could be fun. Like any good guest, I show up with a six-pack of beer, assuming we'd hang out, have a drink or two, maybe watch something, and just see where the night went. But the moment I step inside, I realize this is not that kind of night. She doesn't want a drink. She doesn't want small talk. She just looks at me and says, "Sit down." Now I am confused but also kinda intrigued. So I sit. Then she drops the real twist. Her husband, not in the house, but very much part of the plan. Turns out, he enjoys watching her with other guys, not recorded, not secretly, but live. Before I can even process this, she has him on FaceTime. Suddenly, this guy is on the screen, hyping her up, praising her, and in a way, kinda cheering me on too. At this point, my brain is trying to figure out whether I've just walked into a nightmare or some bizarre hidden camera show. But my body was like, well, we're already here. It was honestly one of the most surreal experiences I've ever had. On one hand, I was very much willing to experiment. On the other, I kept thinking, this feels like a live episode of Black Mirror. When it was all over, I thanked her, grabbed my six-pack, unopened, by the way, and headed home. But before I left, I caught a glimpse of the husband on screen. Something about him gave me major sketch vibes, like the kind of guy you don't want knowing your name, let alone your address. Needless to say, I never went back. Still, I look back on that night sometimes and think, was that a fantasy fulfilled? Or just a really weird social experiment I accidentally volunteered for? Wild night. Definitely unforgettable. TLDR. I met up with a woman from Kick, thought we were going to hang out, and instead ended up in a surprise FaceTime situation where her husband was coaching from the sidelines. On the weird scale, 10 out of 10. On the would I do it again scale, maybe a 4 out of 10. Story 12. I once had a relationship that was both the most beautiful and the most complicated part of my life. It was with my mother's cousin, just 2 years older than me. Technically family, which meant what we had was something society would never accept to everyone else. Our relatives, our friends, we were completely normal, just two people who grew up together and got along well. But behind closed doors, it was a completely different story. At first, it was secret meetings in hotels, just a few hours stolen from the rest of the world. Then it turned into little trips together, pretending it was all casual. But the truth was, we couldn't get enough of each other. Eventually, we made the boldest decision of all. We moved away to another city, built a home together, and lived like we were free. For 3 years we lived that way, just us against the world. And those 3 years, they were the most intense, the most fulfilling of my life. I've never felt more alive than I did with her. Every day was passion, joy, laughter, and a kind of love that seemed to make everything else fade away. But reality eventually caught up to us. We both knew our families, our culture, society, none of it would ever accept what we had. So in the end, we parted ways. She married, I married, life moved on, at least on the surface. Now, years later, we still see each other at family gatherings, and every time it's like we're both slipping back into our old masks, acting like nothing ever happened. We smile, we chat lightly, we laugh with the family. No one suspects a thing. And yet, beneath all of it, there's this unspoken truth between us we haven't forgotten. Sometimes we'll text each other, just small talk, nothing dangerous. But hidden in those words is the memory of what we once had. She's admitted it too. She feels the same way, but we both know we can't go back. Out of loyalty to our current partners, out of respect for the lives we've built, we've never crossed the line again. Still, not a day goes by that I don't remember what it was like when it was just her and me, living without fear, without shame. For those 3 years, I got to experience a kind of love most people only dream of. And even if it's gone now, even if it can never be again, it's something that will stay with me forever. Story 13. Okay, so I have a confession that I've never told anyone I actually know in real life. It's wild, kind of embarrassing, and honestly, still makes me shake my head. This happened on the night of my brother's wedding. I've never been a big fan of oral stuff because of jaw issues. Like, friends and partners know I just can't do it. I didn't even do it with my ex of 6 years, but this night, well, let's just say exceptions happened. I had a long-time crush on my brother's friend. Honestly, I'd been quietly crushing on him since middle school, but of course I had to keep that strictly under wraps, for everyone's sanity. Anyway, we were both a little tipsy, talking and kind of leaning on each other as the social anchor of the night. He'd just come out of a messy relationship, and there we were, caught up in wedding chaos. At some point, I half-jokingly said, "Hey, maybe we should... you know," and the next thing I know, we're tucked behind a shed on the property. Here's the thing, because of his size and his general attitude, he was literally the only person I could even consider for a blowy. So yeah, we went for it. And before anyone panics, both of us agreed immediately that this was strictly a never-tell-anyone situation. It was, in the moment, fun and kind of ridiculous. Afterwards, we parted ways, went back to the wedding, and carried on as if nothing had happened. This is a story I can tell complete strangers, total strangers, and even laugh about, but I will never admit this to anyone who actually knows me. That line is just off limits. It's one of those wild "what just happened" moments in life that stays with you, and honestly, I wouldn't change a thing. Story 14. I've never really told anyone the full story of my past relationship, mostly because it's complicated and hard to talk about. I was with someone who, despite being smaller and younger than me, was incredibly abusive, physically, emotionally, and verbally. I am 2 years older and physically much bigger, so on the outside it probably didn't look like anything was wrong, but behind closed doors it was a very different story. Over time, I became isolated and reclusive, and I know some friends and family probably noticed something was off. They might have had suspicions, but I never had the courage to open up to them. I don't hold ill will toward her. I don't want revenge or drama. I just want to move forward and heal. It's taken me a long time to even admit to myself how serious it was, and even longer to accept that being open about it doesn't make me weak. This is my story not to shame anyone, but to acknowledge that abuse isn't always obvious. Sometimes it comes from places you'd never expect, and it's okay to speak up, even years later. Story 15. Okay, so this is a wild one. I once fell for my best friend's mother-in-law. Yeah, you heard that right. And no, this wasn't after he met his future wife. It was way before any of that even happened. Long story short, I was head over heels, and she was honest with me. "I am too old to be your wife," she said, and ended things so I could, in theory, find someone who could actually be my partner long term. I was heartbroken, obviously. Fast forward to his wedding rehearsal. And there she is. We're sitting across from each other, both pretending we don't know each other. Awkward doesn't even begin to cover it. He knew I had been involved with an older woman and had gotten hurt, but he had no idea the full story. After the wedding, things reignited briefly. I knew it was a mistake because it made me realize I wasn't over her, which sent me spiraling a bit mentally. The heart really does want what it wants, even when your brain screams otherwise. The crazy part? I can never tell my best friend or his wife, who's now my friend, about any of this. The window for confession has long passed, and honestly, who really benefits from that kind of information at this point? Some stories aren't meant to be shared with the people involved, but the internet will listen. And hey, it makes a good story time, right? Story 16. Back in my college days, I had a, let's say, unconventional way of meeting women. I would browse Craigslist for older, lonely women looking for companionship. Now, I had just turned 21 at the time, but I was 6'2", athletic, and rocking a mustache, so I could convincingly tell them I was 31. Somehow, it worked every single time. So I'd go out on these dates. Dinner. A movie. And, well, let's just say the chemistry was always there. But here's the wild part. These women loved spoiling me. Some of them would hand me money without me even asking, while others went completely over the top. I am talking driving their Jaguars and Mercedes, shopping sprees on their credit cards, and staying in their huge empty homes for days or even weeks at a time. One of them even took me on a 3-week cruise to the Bahamas. And some of the gifts still stick with me. Literally. Even 20 years later, I still have the $8,000 Tag Heuer that one of them bought me. This all went on until I graduated and moved away, but honestly, those were some of the wildest, most decadent college years I could have imagined. Looking back, it feels almost surreal. Good times, for sure. Story 17. Okay, so this one's a little funny and kind of terrifying. One night, around 2 a.m., my boyfriend and I were driving home feeling like we need an intimate adventure. We were a long way from home and decided, why not? Let's stop at the park. We pull over. The park is a little off the main road, so we think we're safe from prying eyes. Neither of us had ever done anything like this before. We start getting into it, but almost immediately we become painfully aware that, oh yeah, we are outside. Behind the park is a patch of forest, full of trees and shrubbery, and suddenly I get this insane paranoia, like someone or something is in the bushes. I hear rustling, my boyfriend hears it too, and then reality hits. We are so exposed out here. What if it's not a person? What if a raccoon, or a dog, or, God forbid, a murderer jumps out? It starts feeling like the opening scene of a horror movie. Our romantic adventure quickly becomes terrifying. So we grab our clothes, retreat to the safety of the car, and decide that maybe outdoor intimacy isn't our thing after all. Story 18. Okay, this is a bit of a late confession, and technically I did tell one of my friends, but it's too wild not to share. I had a 6-month-long fling with a female pastor. At the time, I was 27 and she was 45. Yep, quite the age gap, but honestly, it didn't matter. I met her on a dating site, and from the very first conversation, she just seemed cool. Open-minded, funny, intelligent, and for whatever reason, completely okay with my quirks. We clicked instantly. Things escalated pretty quickly. We started seeing each other regularly, and yeah, we had a lot of private time together. But here's the kicker. She didn't just tolerate my weird little obsessions. She indulged them. I had a nylon feet obsession, and she was game. Totally game. Honestly, at the time, I thought, how is this real life? The dynamic was exciting. There was a sense of forbidden thrill to it. Having this charismatic, confident pastor who could quote scripture one minute and be utterly playful, the next was intoxicating. We had fun exploring each other's worlds, sharing laughs and pushing boundaries, all while keeping it low-key in the outside world. Eventually, things fizzled. Honestly, I am not even sure why. Maybe the age difference started to matter, maybe our life goals were different, or maybe we just reached the natural end of our whirlwind fling. But when I look back, it was 6 months of pure, unapologetic fun. No regrets, just memories of someone extraordinary who brought a lot of unexpected excitement into my life. So, if you're reading this somewhere out there, Reverend Latha, you were pretty awesome. Story 19. I was 21, working as an international staff member at an American summer camp. Life was new, exciting, and full of the kind of freedom you only get when you're in a foreign country and nobody really knows you. I started dating another staff member my age. She was fun, smart, and cute, and we planned to continue seeing each other for the few months my visa lasted after camp ended. Everything seemed straightforward at first. She lived in university dorms, so staying with her wasn't really an option. But her older sister lived nearby, had a spare room, and was more than happy to host me. That's when things took a turn. Her older sister was 29, engaged to be married the following year, and let's just say the chemistry between us was instant. One thing led to another, and what started as a casual hangout quickly turned into a very sordid affair. Here's the kicker. While still seeing her younger sister, I was now also involved with the older sister. There were days when I was hopping between the two, sometimes within hours of each other. It was chaotic, thrilling, and completely unsustainable, but at 21, it felt like living on the edge. It was wild, taboo, and utterly exhausting, but looking back, it was one of those you can't make this stuff up. Chapters of life. Boundaries blurred, excitement ruled, and I definitely learned a lot about desire, temptation, and consequences in a very short period of time. Story 20. I've always been fascinated by the natural structure of animals, especially their skeletons. There's something mesmerizing about the way each bone fits perfectly into its place, like some intricate living puzzle. Over the years, I've come across dead birds, cats, dogs, snakes, even rats, sometimes lying perfectly in the sun or near ant hills where nature slowly does its work cleaning them up. Honestly, it's almost meditative to observe how the bones remain perfectly arranged after time passes. I know that sounds super morbid, and honestly, I've never really shared it at work or with friends. I once mentioned to my mom that I had found a raven skull, and the look she gave me, pure disgust. She didn't even want to hear about me picking it up. On the less creepy side, I do collect insects, and I never kill them myself. I just pick up the ones I find. So far, my collection includes a few big moths, some beetles, a praying mantis, and a handful of butterflies. People might find it odd. Maybe even gross, but for me, it's all about appreciation, seeing the delicate beauty in creatures we usually overlook. It's weird, I know, but for me, these little finds feel like small glimpses into the complexity and perfection of nature. Story 21. This isn't exactly that outrageous, but it's definitely something I've never told my friends. The girl I had my first kiss with actually became a really good friend over the years. Fast forward a bit, and I was dating one of her best friends while she was getting close to marrying her own boyfriend. One night, we all went out partying as a group. The music was blasting, everyone was dancing, and the energy was wild. At some point, she sidled up to me and through the noise said she was still in love with me. I didn't really know how to respond, so I just pretended I couldn't hear her. She repeated it more emphatically, leaning in and really trying to make me listen. I turned my head and pointed at my ear, like, "Sorry, what?" Eventually, she gave up and let it drop. Now, years later, she's happily married, they've built a house, and have kids. We still keep in touch casually, but that night? It's a little memory I will never forget, the weird bittersweet mix of nostalgia and what-ifs. Story 22. I crossed the line with a best friend's boyfriend. They're still together happily and will never tell her. When we were younger, early 20s, reckless, living close by, we even made a plan for how to answer if she ever asked about it. A half-truth we could stick to. We haven't brought it up since, and now the thought of revisiting it is terrifying. It would either mean holding firm to a lie for years or risking all that pain being unleashed in one day. The guilt eats at me whenever I think about it. Part of me is secretly relieved that she moved away because it shields me from facing it constantly. I've thought a lot about why I did it. I was drinking and chasing that false sense of freedom. In reality, I was being selfish and toxic. I never want her to feel like she's unworthy of love. Her past friendships have made me reflect, and I've tried to be a better friend in the years since those moments. I am not proud of what I did. I just want her to be happy, to know she deserves trust and loyalty, and to never get hurt because of me. Story 23. This one's probably mild compared to other stories here, but I've never told anyone outside of my mom because I needed her advice. Years ago, I was around 22, and my ex and I were on a break. Well, more like on and off 10 times over our 5.5-year relationship. But this particular event happened around year 2. One night, we met at a bar, had lots of drinks, hooked up in a public spot, and eventually ended up back at his place. I had a terrible jealousy streak at the time because I suspected he was cheating. So naturally, I tried to snoop on his phone. And of course, I typed the password wrong so many times that it permanently locked. Cue full-blown panic. I had the phone, but we retraced our steps from the night before, hungover and miserable, trying to find it. It was basically a day-long disaster, and the whole time I had the phone in my bag. Later that evening, I called my mom in desperation. She suggested I throw it into the lake. By then, too much time had passed to confess, and he'd probably forgive me anyway. I followed her advice. He got a new phone, and life moved on. I never told him the truth. Hindsight is wild. I could've left the phone and tried convincing him he typed the password wrong in his drunken state, or I could've just broken up with him instead of going full-on psycho. Years later, I realize he wasn't the best boyfriend either, so the guilt isn't as heavy as it once was. Story 24. I am autistic, but I've been fairly good at passing as neurotypical, so much so that not even my family knew. I didn't even realize it myself until I was 25. I am 27 now. When I got into a relationship with my now boyfriend, he casually said, "You might be autistic," and something clicked. I took a test, and lo and behold, the results confirmed it. Looking back, it was obvious if you knew the signs. Being with him has been a revelation. I realized that for so long, I had been wearing this elaborate mask, putting on a face I thought the world wanted to see. With him, and now with his family, who also know, I can finally let that hodgepodge fake smile mask slip without feeling weird. I can relax my stomach muscles and breathe normally, something I didn't realize I wasn't doing before. I didn't realize I was forcing laughs, didn't realize I was constantly observing and copying people to fit in. I didn't realize that for years, I had been essentially a completely made-up person. Now I am finally able to start figuring out what my instincts actually are, not what I trained them to be, and it's freeing, terrifying, and exhilarating all at once. Story 25. I crossed the line with my friend's wife while they were still married. He was a major jerk, but I didn't realize how bad until later. I only hung out with him a couple times a month and barely talked to his wife except in person when I was around him. Eventually, I learned he had cheated on her with another woman, and she found out within a few days. She immediately kicked him out and started showing up at my work, coincidentally initiating conversations. Over a couple of weeks, she told me about his cheating and other issues in their marriage. She made it seem like it had happened months ago and that they were effectively divorced, with a restraining order in place, though he was dodging the final court date and paperwork. One night, she called me for help with a situation involving a stranger. After I handled it, she invited me to spend the night on her couch. The next day, she invited me back for homemade tacos. She was touchy, but I didn't realize what was happening at first. We watched a couple of movies, and during the second one, she made her move. We continued hanging out and having fun. About a month later, she finally mentioned that she was officially serving divorce papers. Story 26. Sometimes I wonder what's wrong with me. I never expected to care for my boyfriend's uncle, especially after everything I had heard about him, but somehow I did. I met him for the first time when he was released from prison. 16 years locked away had changed him. He was frail, confined to a wheelchair, relying on dialysis 3 to 4 times a week, and had already undergone 2 kidney transplants. The medications from the second transplant ended up killing him. Doctors claimed they didn't know the cause, but from everything I could find, his symptoms were directly tied to the meds. Part of me suspects some didn't care because he was a S offender. I am not excusing his past. What he did was horrific, disgusting, and he deserved accountability. And yet, despite all that, he was kind to me. He helped me through nursing school, offering guidance and support in a way I never expected from someone with his history. In spite of myself, I found myself caring deeply for him. It's a strange, conflicting feeling. On one hand, I recoil at his past and what he did. On the other, I mourn his death and the moments we shared. I suppose if there is a God, they can judge me for loving someone I shouldn't have, but I can't deny the humanity I saw in him, even if it existed alongside the darkness. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and hit the bell icon so you never miss an update.